You're listening to an All Saints Church sermon podcast. We hope that you'll be blessed. This week, Reverend Jeremy Panaya.
Today, friends, we begin a new series, a preaching series on the book of Jonah. And Jonah is one of my favorite stories when I was in Sunday school. I believe it may be for you. Because it's very dramatic. Am I right? Right? You have a big fish swallowing up somebody. And we are familiar with it because it is so dramatic and so exciting. But sometimes with something familiar, we may miss out on some fresh insight that the Lord may want to bring to us. So as we go through this book of Jonah, may we approach it with fresh eyes, that we may be familiar, but may we ask God, the Holy Spirit, that we may be open. The reason I say that is because, I mean, there are many, many things in the story we're familiar with, but sometimes our understanding may not be quite right. I just give an example. So this fish that swallowed up Jonah, was it part of God's judgment on Jonah? Because we sometimes feel, you know, in Sunday school they say, if you live in disobedience, God's going to send something, right? A big, you know, something to swallow you up. Is it judgment? Or is it an act of salvation? And actually, if you look at the context, this great fish was appointed by God, and it is a means of salvation. Because if the fish didn't swallow up Jonah, Jonah would have drowned. Am I right? Yeah? So that's just an example of how our perspective needs to be open as we look into God's word, that He may speak into us and into our hearts. So there are three parts to what I want to share today. First, because it's the first of the series, I'll give a kind of overview of the book of Jonah. Then I will cover the first three verses, and that's where this question comes from. Nah? Can you flee from the presence of the Lord? Jonah 1, verse 1 to 3, because that's what Jonah was doing. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And lastly, I'll just touch on the gospel reading that I just read, when Jesus said, "This generation is a wicked generation, and I will not." They ask for a sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah. So those are the three parts. So first is the overview. Who wrote the book? We don't quite know. Probably Jonah, or it could be someone who received information from Jonah, but the text doesn't tell us. When was it written? We also don't know. Okay, because again, the text doesn't tell us, but we know the time frame that the events in Jonah, roughly which period it was in. Okay, so it's the 8th century BC, and the reason why we know it's in the 8th century BC is because of a text. The only time that Jonah is mentioned outside the book of Jonah. Okay, and it's in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. So this is the only time that Jonah is mentioned. He's mentioned in 25. 23 and 24 is telling us that it's in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So it's at a time when Jeroboam is ruling in the northern kingdom, in Israel. And he's an evil king, that's what verse 24 tells us. But during this period, Israel flourishes politically and economically. Okay, so verse 25, it says, "He," meaning King Jeroboam, "restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hepher." So those underlined verses, verse 25, tell us about this person, Jonah, and that he was a prophet, and that he had correctly prophesied that Israel would flourish and the borders would be expanded. The other thing about the historical context is that there is another power in that time. an enemy of Israel. And it is the Assyrians. The Assyrians are in power. And we know from the history of Israel that it is in 722 BC that the northern kingdom is devastated. So this is happening somewhere in the middle of the 750 BC. So it's before Assyria has invaded. And Nineveh is going to be the capital of Assyria. At that time, it's an important city. And God is asking Jonah to go to Nineveh. An important city in the Assyrian Empire, a threat to Israel. So that's the historical context that we need to have with us as we go through the book of Jonah. The other thing that I think would be useful is to know the structure. How is the book of Jonah structured? And one thing about, as we read Scripture, Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and how the book is put together is also inspired. And one thing, as you read the book of Jonah, it's only 48 verses, so you can read it and read it a few times as we go through it over the next, I think, 5 weeks. But as we look at the structure of Jonah, what you need to bear in mind is chapter 1 and chapter 2 is parallel by chapter 3 and chapter 4. Okay? Just remember that chapter 1 and chapter 2 parallels chapter 3 and chapter 4. That means there are events in chapter 1 that you see in chapter 3 and so forth. And I'll go through that. So, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 is Jonah's first call and his disobedience, which is what we are going to look at today. And then later in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah gets hurled into the sea, right? Because he's disobeyed God, there's a storm, and the sailors hurl him out into the sea. Then chapter 2, he's in the belly of the large fish, and he prays. He prays a prayer of thanksgiving. That's why I said just now, the fish was a means of God's salvation. And he prays in the belly of the fish, a prayer of thanksgiving. Okay, so now we see the parallels, because now we're looking at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, is Jonah's second call. So if you have your Bibles with you, and you look at Jonah chapter 3, it says what? What does it say? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So when you look at chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and you look at chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it's a parallel. Chapter 1, Jonah's first call, his disobedience. Jonah chapter 3, Jonah's second call, his disobedience. Then what happens later in Jonah in chapter 3? Jonah obeys and he goes to Nineveh. So while Jonah was in the storm at the sea in chapter 1, now he's in Nineveh in obedience to God, preaching. Then what happens in chapter 4? Chapter 4 begins with a prayer, right? Jonah is angry, chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah because God had relented from bringing the calamity on the Ninevites. Jonah is angry, and verse 2 of chapter 4, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? Right? So again, parallel, right? Chapter 2, Jonah's prayer of thanksgiving. Chapter 4, Jonah's prayer of complaint. And then it closes in chapter 4, with God questioning Jonah. So I believe this is a good structure. I mean, there are many structures people have written about Jonah, but I found this to be helpful, and I pass it on to you. And actually, the sermons that we are going to have roughly follow this format. Okay, so from the historical perspective, I think the thing that I needed to highlight on the historical perspective was to say that the Assyrians were a very ruthless and harsh people. Okay? So not only was Nineveh a key city in the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrians were ruthless and harsh. And so they were a hated people. Now, quickly, some of the themes in Jonah. And I want you, as I put these four words up here, to think in your mind which one you feel is the dominant theme or the primary theme in Jonah. And you must pick one, because I'm going to ask, and if someone doesn't put up their hands, I will ask what theme they have in mind. Okay, so these are the four: compassion, anger, obedience, and sovereignty. Okay, so very quickly, compassion. See a few hands. Anger. Okay, one, two, a few. Obedience. Wow, this is the majority, obedience. Sovereignty. Okay, also a few. Okay. I believe obedience is a secondary theme. It's not the primary theme. Many of you put obedience, because it's about Jonah disobeying. But I believe as you read and reread Jonah, I believe you'll find that the primary theme is actually God's compassion. God's compassion for the Ninevites. And for us, as we think about God, God's compassion for the nations. And the key, I think, is to look at how Jonah ends. Jonah is a remarkable book, and it ends with a question. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which that there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So yes, friends, it's true. I mean, these themes are covered, right? You have anger because Jonah is angry and God is slow to anger. There is a theme on anger. Obedience, as many of you have pointed out. Sovereignty, because God is the one who appoints, the fish to swallow Jonah. God is the one who appoints the plant to spring up. God is the one who appoints the worm, right? When you read chapter 4. So God is in control, but God is acting sovereignly in relation to his compassion. What drives him to act sovereignly is the compassion. When you read the book of Jonah, it's God's compassion for a people who do not know the Lord. And so as we enter into this book and have this theme of God's compassion, God's compassion can be applied at the community level as well as the individual level, right? So the community level, as you think about the nation of Israel, this message of God's compassion would have spoken to the people of Israel centuries later when they were living in apostasy and idolatry and when they were in exile. Because the message to them as they would read Jonah is, if God had compassion on the Ninevites and to relent from and to draw them back to himself when they repent, how much more if the people of Israel would repent? So it's a message to the community that has, they draw back to God in repentance, God in his compassion will receive them. Second, the application of at the community level is about being a blessing. Israel, as you know, is blessed to be a blessing. And the way to be that blessing is to be the channel of God's love to the nations. That Israel was not meant to keep God to themselves. And you go back to Genesis 12 of God's covenant with Abraham. I will bless you that you may be a blessing, that the nations of the world will be blessed. So as we think about God's compassion, there is this aspect of because God is compassionate, that we repent of our sin and our sinfulness and we draw back to God and he will receive us just as he received the Ninevites. Secondly, that as a community of people that we are to be a blessing. And in both of these, as we think about All Saints, because we now are the community of God's people, the church. And so in terms of our repentance and drawing close to God, I think that's the first thing in reboot, isn't it? We're in the season of reboot. And to reboot is to draw close to God in repentance. And it's about being a blessing to the community around us, to the people who do not yet know the Lord. So as Stephanie shared just now about Mooncake and going to Kitty Up, may not be a task, a responsibility, but something in our hearts. God's love and compassion poured out into us that now we, with joy, want to go forth. We think about Anglican High School and the harvest field that is here, ready, but in need of laborers to go forth. Yeah? We think about Tanjung Pinang and Nepal and the lives that are being touched and the lives that need the Lord. And so, as the people of God, that we come to Him in repentance and that we are a channel of blessings. But also, this theme of compassion for the individual. Because, and we see it in Jonah, right? Because Jonah is pursued by God. Am I right? Because Jonah gets hurled into the sea and God appoints a great fish to swallow him up. And so God pursues him even when he partially repents, right? Because he goes and preaches in Nineveh. But when the people repent, he gets angry. Does God desert him? No, God continues to pursue him and has this conversation with him, which we talked about in chapter 4. And again, we see the word appoint, appoint, appoint. God appointed a plant. God appointed the worm. God appointed the scorching wind, right? God acts and pursues us with his love. And so as we think about how God has pursued each one of us with his compassion and has drawn us back to himself, or perhaps you're here and you still have questions, but God, in his mercy, reaches out to each one with his love. So as we go through this book, may we be amazed by God's compassion. And so, yeah, as we think about obedience as a theme, I believe it's secondary to the primary theme of God's compassion and love for the nations. And so now we are ready to go into our first three verses. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, or you can see on the screen, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So as we look at the text, it's clear God has said, arise and go to Nineveh. But he gets onto a ship and goes to Tarshish. So this here is a map. It tells you where Nineveh is. So Nineveh is to the east of Jerusalem. And you see Gath Hepher, that's the hometown of Jonah. And so the call is to go 600 miles east to Nineveh. But what Jonah does is he goes in the exact opposite direction and he heads for Tarshish. Tarshish is the question mark because we don't quite know exactly where it is, but we think, researchers believe it's in Spain, 2,200 miles away. But the point is, he's headed in the exact opposite direction. And that's Jonah's disobedience to God's call. And the text also repeats the phrase, from the presence of the Lord. Right? Verse 3. And again, at the end of verse 3, away from the presence of the Lord, which is where the question that I had, can you flee from the presence of the Lord? Okay? And so, Jonah seeks to flee from the presence of the Lord. But can I ask you, can one really flee from the presence of the Lord? No, right? Because God is everywhere. And the psalmist in Psalm 139, if you have your Bibles, can turn to Psalm 139. And we'll read verses 7 to 10. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So it's very clear, and Jonah knows this. He knows that he cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. The text in Psalm 139 talks about the uttermost parts of the sea. And Jonah, even in the belly of the fish, God is there with him. And so too for us. And so it tells us that oftentimes when God calls us to do something, and it goes against our emotions and what we want, our minds kind of go in, you know, it just goes blank. And we do the opposite, and we try to flee from God's presence. And many of those who were called also tried to avoid doing what God called them to do. Right? When you think about Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, and he was only about in his late teens. And he says, how can I go? I'm only a youth. We're familiar with Moses, right? Moses, God calls him to go and deliver the Israelites. Moses says, I can't speak. But for both Jeremiah and Moses, they enter into conversation with God, and God assures them, I will be with you. But for Jonah, it's silence. God tells him, he doesn't speak to God, he just picks up and goes. And I wonder for us, when God calls us to do something difficult, something challenging, something beyond our comfort zone, what is our response? Because God will not call us without assuring us of His presence. And if Jonah would have, like Jeremiah and Moses, entered into conversation and say, Lord, this is beyond me. You want me to go to the Assyrians, these cruel people? Why? But no, he just picks up and goes. And so in my life, has God called me into full-time ministry? I too tried to go in the other direction. And like most of us, we give excuses. You know, I got to get married, I got to have children. But God is patient, and He pursues us, and He has pursued some of you, many of you, and He will pursue you as He calls you to walk with Him and to do His bidding. So as I look back at my own life, I'm just amazed at the patience of God that He would pursue me because of His great love for me. And for you as well. So instead, yes, we can flee from the presence of the Lord in terms of what we do, but God is there even when we flee. But it's true that God's presence can be diminished, will be diminished when we walk in sin and disobedience. When we walk in sin and disobedience, God's presence will not be with us in the same way. Because we'll be quenching the Holy Spirit. So there's a warning there. Yes, God is everywhere, but if we are to, and in a sense, instead of fleeing from the presence of the Lord, we are to seek His presence more and more. There's a wonderful verse in the scripture, draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. Yeah, that's from the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. But the second part of that verse goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So friends, drawing near to God requires a change, that we are to have clean hands and pure hearts as we draw near to God to have His presence with us. So as we look deeper now into the question of why did Jonah disobey God? Why did Jonah pick up and go in the exact opposite direction? One, could it be that he feared being viewed as a false prophet? Because it's one thing to go and prophesy, and then if the prophecy doesn't come true because the people repent, then you could be viewed and say, hey, this guy's not true, you know? So it's like a loss of faith, right? So that could be one. Or it could be the fear of the Syrians, because I said they're very harsh and cruel, right? What would you do, or how would you feel if God called you to go to North Korea and preach to the North Koreans? Fear for your life, right? So that could be. And fear of the Israelites, his own community. Because why? As I said, in the historical perspective, right, these are the enemies of Israel. And just a few decades after this story, the Assyrians decimated and destructed the northern kingdom. And so his going will put himself in jeopardy with his own community, the possibility of being exiled or even killed. Or did he disobey God because he was against God's compassion for the Ninevites? Which was the key reason that Jonah disobeyed God? Okay, because I said the key theme is compassion, it's that, right? And the text tells us that it's because he is against God's compassion. Again, if you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 is when God has already relented and of the disaster because the Ninevites had responded positively to Jonah's preaching. So here are the words of Jonah as he prayed in chapter 4, verse 2. And Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. This, friends, is the major reason why Jonah disobeyed God. He could not believe that the God of Israel would love and extend grace and mercy to their enemies. And one more, to a cruel and harsh people, the Ninevites. He just couldn't accept it. And to him, as you read the text, he would rather die. Right? He repeats that a few times. I'd rather die. So friends, as we look into the book of Jonah and God's compassion, may God give us His heart. His lens. I think Joseph, when he preached last week, talked about the lens, right? The specs. And how we see. Do we see from our own human perspective or from God's perspective? So the call really as we enter into this book is to enter into God's perspective and God's heart. God's heart for the nations of the world. So I close now with the third point, right? So I said there were three parts to what I'll preach on. The outline, then the three verses, can you flee from the presence of the Lord? And then lastly, Jesus and Jonah. And so from the gospel that was read from Luke chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, when the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to his generation. Friends, the sign of Jonah is that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so too our Lord Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And so it's speaking of the gospel. No sign will be given to this generation, but the sign of Jonah, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And you know, the sad thing that we said in Luke 11 was that the generation of Ninevites will rise up, and Jesus was saying, will rise up and condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, but someone greater is here, which is himself. Jesus is saying, here is the Son of God preaching and the people are not repenting. But the Ninevites, a cruel and harsh people, at the preaching of Jonah, repented. That's what it says, right? In Luke 11 and verse 32. Verse 32 says, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And so, friends, this is also a warning for us in how we are living our lives. That are we drawing near to God? Because unlike the Ninevites who only had the preaching of Jonah, you and I have the full counsel of God and the testimony of Jesus. And so the responsibility then now for us, that we would draw near to God in repentance and live for His glory and be channels of blessing and bringing His compassion to a world that needs His love. So if I could summarize all that I've said that's key in one sentence, it would be this. Don't flee from God's presence, but draw near to God, being obedient to His call with a heart filled with compassion for the lost. Friends, because that's the mission that God has given us. So let us remove our prejudices, our biases, which Jonah had in not wanting God's compassion to reach the Ninevites. May God give us His heart for the lost and for the nations. And may we draw near to Him in repentance and have this heart of compassion for all in need of His grace. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Gracious God and Father, You know each and every heart. Father, we pray that You will enable us, Lord, to draw near to You. That for some, Lord, whose hearts are running with the world, Lord, in Your mercy, draw them back, Lord, to Yourself. May their hearts begin to yearn for You, Lord, the God of all creation. None of us can flee from Your presence, but Lord, we can diminish Your presence, Lord, if we continue in sin and disobedience. So help us, Lord, to walk in obedience to Your word and to have hearts of compassion, Lord, to bring Your gospel to those in need of Your grace and of Your love. So would You help us, Lord, as our hearts are open to You. You are a consuming fire. So, Lord, may You stir up in each of our hearts a passion for You and a compassion to bring Your healing to all in need of Your grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we respond?